very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington on Monday, October 17th, 2022. This is Live Talk. I am Kips Dube. Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the government's move to give chiefs power to hang Gikukura on the atrocities at village level. In the second half of the show, we'll talk about political violence gripping the nation ahead of some local council by-elections. President Emmerson Mnangagwa today presented a detailed state-authored document on modalities of handling the sensitive Gukurahundi atrocities of the 1980s, in which an estimated 20,000 people were killed by an elite brigade of the Zimbabwe National Army in the Matabeleland and Midlands regions. Officially launching the document in Bulawayo today, President Emmerson Mnangagwa said time has come for the government to bring to finality the Gukurahundi issue.
Defining occasion for the whole country, as it is an apt demonstration that under my watch, the Second Republic is determined to resolve whatever conflict between us internally and without interference from external forces. After all, churches, bishops, NGOs, and chiefs, among others, have always been in existence. Yet conflict was experienced. As president, I took a bold and a yet decisive initiative for the nation to open up, discuss, and more importantly, bring to finality this Gukurahundi issue. My fellow countrymen, for too long, we have let our differences hinder our collective development in the country. We have allowed external forces with hostile intentions towards this country to dictate to us how we should.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking at State House in Bulawayo. But critics say Mnangagwa should not be part of any issues related to the Gukurahundi massacres, as he was allegedly among those that spearheaded the killings. Mr. Mnangagwa was state security minister at that time, but he has denied any wrongdoing. Kuhlelo namhla siqala ngodaba lwe-Gukurahundi. Sibonile uMongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa namhla esethula ugwalo olujulileyo esithi izinduna yizo sokumele zilungise umbuqazwe we-Gukurahundi. Kodwa kulabanye abantu abathi uMnangagwa akumelanga angene kudaba lolu ngoba kuthiwa waphatheka kumbuqazo we-Gukurahundi. Kodwa uMnangagwa uyakuphika konke lokhu. Now, joining us via Skype right now to discuss this issue, we have independent political commentator Thabang Nare, who lives in Boston. Welcome to the show, Mr. Nare.
Thank you, Mr. Dube.
Yeah, so before we go into the violence activities, we saw President Emmerson Mnangagwa, you know, he was in Bulawayo, where he launched this document concerning the Gukurahundi massacres. What's your take on that?
Yes, Dube, I'll take a note of the launch of the Gukurahundi issue. I think people are deliberately trying to stay away from the word massacre, stay away from the word genocide. But we know that it is now widely accepted that this was a genocide. A group of people were targeted mostly for their political alignment to PF ZAPU at the time. And these people were in a particular region in Matabeleland and Midlands. And you have stated the numbers of people killed, over 20,000. Now, the basic thing is that there must be truth-telling. And truth-telling will facilitate that healing, you know, and reconciliation. Now, it looks like this is a ploy to simply try and get mass graves exhumed and get reburials going on without the truth telling. So it's an incomplete package. It's an incomplete program, because we know there were perpetrators of the violence during Kukurahundi. The current president was the Minister of State at that time, and he was in the thick of things in as far as the operations of the 5th Brigade were concerned.
So is he the right person to actually resolve this matter?
The best thing would have been for him to ask the church and other civic society groups to lead this process. We know that in South Africa, there was a similar process. The churches were involved. And after that, people generally accepted that there must be truth and reconciliation. And we have South Africa moving on with issues. Of course, there are challenges, but they keep on resolving them. So if you're an interested party, like in the case of President Mnangagwa, the best would have been to step away. You know, he, as an individual, has not apologized for his role. It's still fuzzy. It's not clear what's being done. And this is unfortunate. But other people have rejoiced that at least finally the government has acknowledged that there was Kukurahundi. Because we know that there are Kukurahundi denialists who say such a thing never happened. So here we are. The government has acknowledged that it did actually happen.
Yes, stay on the line, Mr. Nari. We're going to come back to you. So now we are joined by another guest. That is Mr. Joseph Chuma, a ZANU-PF Central Committee member. He is on the line from Bulawayo, that is Zimbabwe. Mr. Chuma, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So before we go into the violence issue, let's talk about the document that was actually launched by the president in Bulawayo. It seems as if some people are saying, you know, the president is not supposed to be part of the Kukurahundi, kind of planners and all those kind of things. So they're saying he should stay away because there are reports that he was part of the Kukurahundi massacres. What's your take on that?
Well, the president is the head of state. And the issue concerning Kukurahundi is surrounded by what transpired being perpetrated by government to the people of Matabeleland and part of Midland. So there is no way that the president cannot be part of this whole equation. But then again, suffice to say, what he has done is the correct thing that should have been done from long back. And that correct thing is taking this issue back to the chiefs, who are the custodians of our culture and the owners of that land and the people that were affected by this whole genocide that happened. So the chiefs themselves then will go down there and come up with a prescription that they will now bring to government and unfortunately to the president of the state, who happens to be our president, Comrade Mnangagwa. So there is no way that you can wish him away from this whole deliberation if we are going to come up with meaningful solutions and be able to say that we will solve the issue of Kukurahundi. So the chiefs are the people that are going to play the ball. Then after that, when they finally complete it, they will bring the whole issue to government so that then compensation or whatever outcome they are prescribed can now then be carried out and forward.
Yeah, kodwa ke nxa sikhangela Juma kayangizani kuyahlupha phela ukuthi imnanga kwangena kudaba lolu. So ngesintu sibili ukuthi abantu bezu ukuthi ukhuluma ngokuthi uthini kulapha ngoba kulabo abantu abathi umnanga kwa ngomunye wabantu abangena kudaba lwe Kukurahundi round. So ke ubathi ungena ngalini?
Ubaba umnanga kwa nguye umongameli welizwe njalo.
Yeah, ungazana sakuzwa kuhle Juma. Burazani inombolo yakhe engani isiqumekile. Ye, uyasizwa baba Chuma? So I think we've got a bit of a challenge there. Mr. Chuma has got an issue with his phone. So let's bring back Mr. Tabang Nare so that we can discuss this issue further. Mr. Nare, so I guess we are still on the line. So tell us, you heard lapho ubaba ekhuluma, ubaba uChuma. Uthi Mnangagwa kumele abe khona khonapho. Vele, you can't wish him away. Ngoba kupresident phela, president welizwe. ngesintu wakho.
Yeah, ukuba ngupresident kwelizwe akutsho ukuthi wena nguwe osumele ukhokhele zonke izinto. Esindebeleni kuthiwa injobo enhle ithunyelwa ebandla. Kwesinye isikhathi kumele udinge umuntu onguye ozaba isimeli njalo ozahlaziya indaba ngendlela eqondileyo. So ngenxa yokuthi ngomunye okumele ukuthi abathiwa kukhumisana umlotha labo, yena kumele ukuthi abathiwa umi eceleni ebizwe ezokutsho laye akutshoyo ngalolu daba. So kunzima ke ukuthi nxa abantu bekhombela kuye besithi ngomunye owaye etshotshozela, ngomunye owayethuma laba ababebulala abantu belimaza abantu ngesikhathi seGugurawundi, kube sokusithi kube nguye futhi njalo othi hhayi sengifuna ukuthi lina lintshele ukuthi kwenzakalani. So lokhu khanya kuyi-hypocrisy ukuthi umuntu onguye i-perpetrator nguye futhi osesithi ntshelani ukuthi kwenzakalani, yena kunguye okwaziyo ukuthi wayethuma abantu besenzi ububi lobo benzakalayo ngesikhathi seGugurawundi.
Yes, siyakuzwa kakhulu baba Nare, sicela ubambe khonapho. I think Mr. Joseph Zuma is back. So Mr. Zuma, according to Mr. Nare, that doesn't work, you know, to have the president, you know, adjudicating on this matter, because he's saying he was actually involved directly in this matter. So he should stay away, according to Mr. Nare.
Well, I don't know why he probably misses it, Ubaba Nare. The president is not coming in to be the adjudicator or the prescriber of whatever solutions must come out concerning the issue of Kukraumi. He is coming in as the head of state, and therefore that is why he has handed over everything to the chiefs for them to be the ones that are spearheading all matters that are supposed to be handled for the conclusion of this issue. So it's not that the president is coming in to say that I'm going to prescribe that and what happened and how did it happen. The chiefs are going to carry out that with their subject in their respective places. And then finally they will come back to the two government and the head of state to say, right, our people want A, B, C, D done so that we can put closure to the issue of Kukraundi, which I think is in order.
Thank you so much, Mr. Zuma. Stay on the line. We are going to come back to you very shortly. For those people that have just joined us, tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. In the second segment of the show today, we are looking at political violence that has gripped a Matabele region ahead of some local council by-elections. An opposition Citizens Coalition for Change member of Parliament, Jessiman Tofa, and several CCC activists were beaten up a few hours ago by suspected ZANU-PF members in Insiza District, Matabele South. The party reports that Tofa and other CCC members sustained serious injuries during the attack. This follows a similar incident in Matopo yesterday, where suspected ZANU-PF members also attacked CCC lawmaker Kuchakapulu and several party followers. CCC interim spokesperson Fatsaye Mahere says this should stop.
Zvatinoziva chose kune by-election kuya mazuva ari kutevera. Saka campaign team yedu nemapolling agents vanga vasangana kumatovo kuti varonge vaone hungwa hweby-election, kuti vaone kuti mapolling agents aripo uye kuti vaone kuti vari kumobilize vanhu varipo zvakare. Vari mumameeting iwavo machampions edu takaona ZANU-PF vachisvika vane mota dzakaita 7 dzakatonyorwa kunzi ZANU-PF, ma branded vehicles. Ndobvatanga kupotsera matombo kupanga vanga vane futi zvakare, ndobvatanga kurova vanhu vanga vaungana ve-triple C. Vakamisa zvakare mabhazi vachiti munhu wese akapfeka yellow nhasi tokumurova. Kune mudzimai aizvifambirowo zvake anga asingaita hake zvepolitics, vakanzi aumburuke pasi ndobva arohwa zvakare. Isu se-triple C tiri kutaura kuti nyaya dzemhiri mishonga dzinokanganisa sarudzo dzedu. Sarudzo dzinofanira kuva free and fair kana kuti dzakasununguka. Munhu wese achitenderwa kuti akampeine, vanhu vese vachitanga tenderwa kuti vasangane semapato. Saka isusu hatisi kufara nemhirizhonga iri kukonzerwa nevezanu PF. Takaripota nyaya yacho kumapurisa. Mapurisa akaudzwa nemazita nemaregistration numbers emota dzese dzange dziripo dzakapiwa kumapurisa. Saka ezvinezvi tiri kuravira kune mapurisa kuti vaungurure nyaya iyi nemazvo. Hatidi kuti mapurisa anyarare panyaya iyi nokuti vanhu vezanu PF vakakonzeresa. Tinoda kuvaona vachisunga vanhu sezvavanosimbisirwa kunzi vaite neconstitution nebumbiro remutemo. Akatyoka mbabvu. Kune vakarohwa vakakwara, vamwe vacho vakazokwanisa kuenda kumba, asi tine vamwe vakaita sana Honorable Munokile nevavaifamba navo vakaitwa ambush vari munzira yekudzokera kuLawayo. Vakatozoita zvekutiza kupinda mumabushes nokuti zano PF yange yakuda kuvarova yavhara road yese. Vakazowanikwa havo vakaendeswa kudzimba dzavo. Asi zvazvinoratidza ndezvekuti hapana munhu akasununguka munzvimbo iyoyo. Zano PF iri kuita zvemhirizhonga.
Zari Marere, interim spokesperson of the Opposition Citizens Coalition for Change. And now joining us from Harare, Zimbabwe, is Ostalo Siziba, a member of the Opposition Citizens Coalition for Change. And remember, we already have Mr. Joseph Chuma of ZANU-PF and Mr. Tabang Nare, an independent political commentator. So, gentlemen, let's talk here. So, starting with you, Mr. Siziba, so we hear that your party members are being given a time by a ZANU-PF, suspected ZANU-PF activists. So give us your take. What is going on?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to have us tonight. As we enter into the shadows of the next election, we have seen visibly so the taking of political violence, particularly in the countryside. And there's a pattern in the entire coordination of violence as ZANU-PF. It is informed by basically the following issues. Number one is that ZANU-PF is facing an imminent threat to its existence, and therefore election is a method of changing government to them, which is a clear and a potential threat. And that's why we have seen that there has been violence ever since we introduced the TPP movement after there was a march out to the authentic opposition. So TPP, since its announcement into the political market in this country, has never gained access, particularly to the countryside. And the reflection of the changing feelings and thoughts on political choices by people in the countryside is one that has motivated the changing of political violence. You saw that in Gweru. You saw that happening in Bulilima. You saw the same happening in Matopo yesterday and today in Fiza. You know, a clear trend that every right thing in Zimbabwe should be worried about, because we think that politics should be a contestation of ideas and policies around the party's program of action to change the lives of ordinary people. No one must lose their life on account of politics. But we have seen that our opponents in ZANU believe that the violence becomes a tool to convince and organize people.
Yes, Mr. Siziba, but we are getting information from the police who are saying that they also made a report at KZ police station that ZANU-PF activists were also attacked. So did you attack anybody?
Look, we have reported the matter to the police in Matopo, and it's well known. It's pure pretense by ZANU, because there's video evidence of the attack that happened to our members. I went to Rokwe. Our vehicles were stopped. ZANU manned illegal roadblock along Koko Kabuyuni Road. Ministers of ZANU were there. I saw them. So they will try to pretend all they want to try and create an image that ZANU is a victim. But everyone knows that we are at the receiving end of ZANU-PF coordinated violence and terror attacks on our people. the world documented things, the world known things. Zanu itself knows this. That's why they will try, obviously, because it has got Africa's rules, objective and task is to try and create an image of a new discontentment in the tolerant Second Republic. While this on the night they coordinate violence and terror against our people, Zanu has sent to the terrorist organization, which is terror and violence, as a tool to mobilize.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. Let's bring in. Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Mr. Ziva. Let's bring in, Mr. Chuma. Briefly, Mr. Chuma, what's your reaction to what Siziba is saying? Very briefly. Siziba first, then we'll go to Mr. Nare. So let's start with Mr. Chuma. Yes, Mr. Chuma.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me properly?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Good. I want to put this thing fundamentally clear. Through the direction of the president of the party, the president,
sorry, I think your line is getting a little bit muffled, so we don't know whether you're traveling or not. So can you get to
I'm not traveling. Or maybe you can use my Equinox number instead of that.
Yeah, okay, so I'll ask them to call your other number. So let's go to Mr. Nare. Mr. Nare, so basically, you can hear these two gentlemen, they are not agreeing on anything. So at the end of the day, they are blaming each other for these attacks. So give us your take. You are a very independent person. So,
All right. Thank you, Dube. So just to state that ZANU-PF has a well-documented history of violence. Professor Sabelo Kajeni talks about what they call in Shona Demore ZANU-PF, that ZANU-PF literally has an X. You know, we have Honorable Joseph Chuma here. He himself, if he falls out of line within ZANU-PF, he can be subjected to violence. So that violence, it goes even further. It's extended to other people who are not even members of violence. So wherever ZANU-PF faces a threat, ZANU-PF does not seek to win the love of the electorate or the citizens, you know, through persuasion. ZANU-PF brings in terror. And what the challenge that we have is that we have a culture of impunity. So from Kukurahundi to 2008 to Mrambatswina to August 1 to what is happening right now in Matobo and in Siza, you will have people perpetrating violence and they will not be held to account.
Yes.
They will not be arrested. If they are arrested, they will be released. They will not have any jail sentences.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Nari. Stay on the line there. So let's hear a little bit of what people are saying on Facebook before I go to Mr. Joseph Chuma and Mr. Ostalo Seziwa. So we've got a guy who says, konke lokho kwenzakalayo into embi kakhulu igama lakhe ngukhula ngwane khona ngale ke kula South Africa. Ubongi Ngwenya laye uthi okwenzakalayo lokho is very bad, so ke asikwazi ukuthi pho kumele senzeni. So let's go back to Mr. Joseph Chuma. Briefly, Mr. Chuma, so the two of you cannot agree, Mr. Ostalo Seziwa and Mr. Chuma, on exactly what is going on. So now, looking at this violence, even Mr. Nari is saying ZANU-PF has got this history of violence. Your reaction, Mr. Chuma?
Right. First and foremost, I must be clear that violence must be condemned in whatever form. We should never, ever come to a point whereby people lose lives or get injured because of politics. Ideas must be shared and people must agree to tolerate each other with their diversities in terms of political support. And our president has been very clear, and he has sent that message clearly to say that we should not do violence at all. And now it gets surprising when you get issues like this, that there's been violence in Matopo, there's been violence in Siza and stuff like that, because it goes contrary to what the head of the political party, who is the president, has prescribed for us as a way of operating within the system and within the community where we go to campaign. So therefore, it is very prudent to highlight now and say that we should all condemn violence by all means, and we should also all condemn intimidatory behaviors by people by all means, because at times that's what creates such kind of environment. I remember when I was campaigning in 2018, I booked a youth arena to do some campaign program there, and the NDCA by that time came in and booked Washington Stadium. I had to postpone my program because I knew that bringing the two people together at times I might be very reasonable, but the other people down there might not be as reasonable as I am, and then therefore it will cause violence. So it is important that as we go about our campaign, let's not confront each other, let's not cause issues which will end up getting us to be confrontational and probably end up fighting each other and stuff like that. So I think it is very important for us to say that whatever we do, let us conduct ourselves in a respectable manner and also not confront each other.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chuma. Mr. Siziba, chip in there. I hope Mr. Siziba is still quiet.
I have strong respect for the sentiment that my brother, Honorable Chuma, has brought in. You know, the only unfortunate situation is that there seems to be a disconnect between himself, the leader, and as part of the leadership of ZANU-PF, and what some of the terror gangs in ZANU believe in. Because from what he says, and that as the political leadership, I agree with him that we do have responsibility to give out tolerant tones, peace tones, so that we don't motivate our people and render our country into chaos and rapport. But the challenge we see is that while this is seeking those very progressive, peaceful and non-violent coexistence issues, our people are being ambushed and raided, scattered in barricaded windows, broken down. Our councillor in Caesar's house has been raided. They took money, they took food, you know, everything. So that is the challenge that, you know, we see that during the day there's a conversation around peace, but during the night our people are subjected to inhuman and degrading treatment. You saw what happened to the women in Matopo there. You know, stripped of their clothes, something that is very callous and brutal.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Siziba. So let's have Mr. Nare wrapping up the show now. Mr. Nare, so what's the way forward? You know, these two gentlemen can't agree. So what's the way forward here?
Yeah, thank you, Dube. It is actually very concerning. The lady who was wearing yellow and driving a truck actually is from Kafusi, which is my home area. And so it hits you at the personal level that here is someone, they're minding their own business, they do not really belong to CCC, and simply for the fact that they were wearing yellow, they were beaten up, you know. So that's not progressive at all. So we hope that churches, civic society can engage with the president so that this stops.
Thank you. Because thank you very much. People. Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Nare. Sorry, we have come to the end of the show today. We wish to thank our guests this evening, Mr. Thabang Nare, Mr. Joseph Chuma of ZANU-PF, and Mr. Ostalo Siziba. Let's meet again tomorrow. This is Kips Dube in Washington, D.C., saying good night, Zimbabwe.
The search is on for Africa's best and brightest minds in finance, cybersecurity, technology, and anything digital. Making social impact through cutting-edge technologies, innovation, and creativity in Africa. Out of 17,000 candidates from 50 countries in North, Central, East, West, and Southern Africa, only three will be selected from the top 10 continental finalists from Egypt, Nigeria, Ghana, Zimbabwe, Kenya, and Cameroon. Join the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and its prestigious partners, including the Voice of America, when the three finalists are featured at the U.S. Africa Leaders Summit in December 2022 in Washington. Stay tuned.